Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
Hello.
We're back.
And this is a new episode
of Boys Lunch.
Recorded August
30th, 2022, year of our Lord.
During the lunch of these boys, I'm Joey.
And I'm Paul. And you're listening to NPR. We're going to get sued.
Jazz on jazz.
Next up. Oh, I can't. The Blue Rondo out of Turk.
Nice.
I can't see it. That's not a good NPR impression. Anyway, this is Boys Lunch Podcast, where two Catholic teachers talk about life. You can email us as always at boyslunch1@gmail.com. We've gotten some doozies recently, and we do appreciate all of those people who have reached out to us, especially you, Callan, especially you. Now, as always, you can follow us on our non-existent Instagram of Boys Lunch Podcast. And yes, it's going to be back in a rhythm. This is essentially twice within a week that we have recorded, theme each other.
It felt too soon today when I asked you. I'm like, hey, should we record today? It just like felt like, what do you mean? We haven't waited 3 weeks.
Like a good month in between.
Yeah, so this is kind of, it's weird. Yeah, this is a podcast with two guys who don't promote themselves. So I can't believe it still exists.
Seriously. Yeah, it's just word of mouth, man. Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Parents telling other parents.
I have not looked at our statistics lately to see what our demographic breakup is. But, you know, I was surprised. They opened up last night. We were getting more views than we were like at the end of the, I don't know, like we're trending upward. I don't know what's happening, but more people are listening to us.
A revitalization.
Yeah.
We really should have sold it at Parents Night, but you nor I really had, I don't know.
We just aren't self-promoters.
We don't do a good job.
Which is really tough with evangelization. We're promoting.
Trying to get something to grow and you never talk about it, kind of a problem.
Yeah. But anyway, we're here and it is a thrill to be here.
How's that spicy chicken sandwich you just threw down in 30 seconds?
You know, I didn't drink anything afterwards, so it's just kind of still alive in my mouth. But it was a lot spicier than I thought it'd be in a good way.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So, Laura.
Or Christine.
And Christine, whoever did it, you're doing great work.
Or, like, just someone who came and made them. I don't know. Could have not been the two of them.
Tyson, thank you for...
Tyson, thank you for the... I think it's chicken.
What if it was like... Laura or Christine, actually, these are handmade.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I think it's chicken.
When you buy chicken, like you only get some boneless, skinless chicken breasts, does it bother you that it just says with rib meat underneath it?
You know, actually, I've never really thought about that.
Do chickens have ribs? I'm sure they have some kind of, skeletal system. are they really scraping the meat off of the ribs and that's what they're putting in there? Is that what's going on?
It's true. When you go to a barbecue restaurant, when you see ribs, you would assume.
Pork ribs.
Yeah,
yeah, beef ribs. Not too many chicken ribs being sold.
This is why the people come here. I'm so sorry.
You know, but you ever thought about, like, what is that? Are they just scraping chicken rib meat and throwing it into the chicken breast?
Did this question just come on the spot to you? Or was this like a plan? Like, you know what would be good for banner?
Rib meat.
Chicken rib meat.
That just came to me.
No, I'll be honest. I don't.
I don't like to read into it because I don't want to know what I'm eating. But yeah, big thoughts for big people. Anyway, the school year is starting off. It is going well. Anything going on with your life at school or at home spiritually?
No, I gotta say, it's been weird seeing Zaylee get into kind of, I forget that she's in first grade now, so she can join clubs. She's on sports teams now. So just had our first PCSL soccer game, personal soccer league. This last Saturday, her team was victorious, 2-1. Not really sure they keep score. Oh, but the parents kept score.
Yeah, and then they uploaded online, which is really bizarre to me.
Is it uploaded online?
We got an email afterwards of like the update of the game, how it went.
How were Cisco's stats?
Well, they didn't do individual, they played really well.
Nice.
They played as a team.
Ours was much less as a team.
Well, I guess they didn't play as a team. We just had people that really were wanting it. All individually by themselves.
Okay.
And they individually scored.
I was going to say, ours was very much kind of that herd, like, ball's here, everyone's here. They try to do a good job of, like, all right, you're on offense, like, get up there, defense, get back here. Gotta say, Zaylee might be lacking a little of the competitive spirit, but is having an absolute blast.
Is not lacking the fun spirit.
Yeah. She is a skipping. Someone was like, Is Zaylee limping? Nope. She is skipping because she's just so excited to be a part of a soccer game.
It is fun. Yeah, I think for, like, Cisco did soccer before, and I think Zaylee did different soccer, like, practices and stuff. It's just different, like, they're wearing uniforms too, I think, which, like, helps them. There's teams, there's a little bit more rules and expectations. I think it was, like, fun for them.
Did your son, did they name their team?
No. At least I don't think so.
We're the Sparkles.
Of course.
I don't think, I think unicorns, sparkles, and maybe girls.
Why can't they just be sparkly unicorns?
That's what I said. Feels right.
Combine some of
them. I don't know. They voted on it.
I do like sparkles, though. I did hear the other team, the yellow team, we were blue, was coached by a fellow alum, Brody Michael. Oh, he did a phenomenal job out there.
Shout out to Brody Michael. Wonderful family.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he was a great coach. Just I did hear him, like, say, like, a three-word team name when he was calling them in. I was like, I couldn't hear the words, but I could definitely tell that they had made up a really cool
that's
name.
That's awesome. That sounds like Brody.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty awesome. I got to say, I'm very proud of Zaylee's presence. She probably after her old man, anytime the ball started moving towards her own goal,
she started grabbing it.
She was like, she cut back. She wanted to get in front of it.
Nice.
She wanted to get in front of the net. So they don't play with goalies at this age. Am I upset about that? Partly. I also understand why.
I see. Well, yeah, because the goal is so small.
The goal is very small. Yeah. But Zaylee, like, she squared up in front of net a couple times. Like, nice. Never been more proud.
Yeah. You have the ability to just throw your body everywhere and have no care.
Absolutely.
That's what makes you a great goalie.
It's true.
I think she's
she's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We're still waiting. We're on baby watch, so we're excited. Still kind of in that phase right now. So
how's grass watch going? Not to detract. See,
don't
even
worry about that thing. That little guy, I wouldn't worry about that little guy. What? I have some questions for you, actually.
Okay.
Actually, just what have you been reading lately? I think the people are wondering. We haven't really talked to them in a while. What have you been up to? What have you been reading?
I was
putting you on the spot right now.
I was convinced to read the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah.
And I am now on Return of the King. And I picked it up again last night and read
it. Did you? Okay, good.
And so I'm working my way through that third book.
Did you just start last night, the third one?
I started a little while ago, okay. But at the beginning of school, I haven't touched in the last couple of weeks. So I picked it up last night and really enjoying it. Also,
what have you been into?
My in-laws bought us the Bishop Barron, like the Bible that they put out, the really nice Word on Fire Bible. And so I've been reading that, kind of working through the Gospels there. So it's just, we just have the Gospel one, but some really good stuff. So I'm trying to work that into my prayer as well. And so they've also got those little snippets from like famous Catholic authors and artists and stuff. And so that's been really enjoyable.
That's cool. Yeah, when you get something like that, it makes you actually like, it's such a nice thing that you want to not only take care of it, but like read it and pray with it and like use all the resources they put into it to elevate. That's cool. So the Bible and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. What more do you need?
Wow.
I really want to start a few other books. Some ones that I think we've talked about in the past. But I just.
What? Pride and Prejudice, War and Peace.
I borrowed a couple of books from Joseph Shope, von Balthasar ones. I did just finish his one on childlike spirituality.
Oh, okay.
So Joseph, that's at my house and you need to take it back. I forgot to give it back to you.
Yeah, actually, I was going through your books today and I was like, there's some new ones in there that I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I have to grab this one, grab that one. Did you just inherit a lot of books?
I inherited some books from Paul Larson.
Oh, okay.
So he was, cleaning out his
house, his flavor.
Organizing. Yeah, a lot of Merton.
Yeah, I noticed a stack of Merton. Yes. I was like, wow, Paul's really going through something right now.
And then I think when he...
That's Thomas Merton, by the way, Trappist monk.
Yes, absolutely. And then he's also got a lot of Luther, which I think was from a class that he took. Yeah, so someone
that's
was
what
like,
happens.
I was like, okay, you got that picture of Martin Luther on your wall, but now I'm seeing a lot of books showing up.
Seven books of Martin
Paul,
Luther.
We need to talk. But I think that was part of a class he took.
Yeah, that's cool.
How about you? What are you reading?
I finally started to give up on Jasani, not like give up on him, but like I was really in July, August hitting a lot of his stuff and I almost got kind of tired of it. It was out of necessity. Like I was using it a lot for this, the first like 2 or 3 weeks for my actual class. There's two books that I've just started reading though. Strange Rites by, it's right here. Tara Isabella Burton. I was directed that way though from Bishop Barron. He sat down with her. It's really been fascinating. It's kind of a look at the sociology of like religion right now in the United States, how we have this group of nuns, the NONES, the non-affiliated, But she's kind of just talking about how they are a lot more spiritual than we think. I don't know. It's a whole thing that I might actually do a podcast on sometime. But I don't really know what her answer is. So I've been loving the information she's putting out there. She could at the end of the book be and say, like, well, see, this is why we should all just pick and choose whatever we want. So I can't tell you, like, I back everything. But the way that she is, I don't know, she's just a really good writer. The way that she's laying out how our generation is picking and choosing religion, what we believe in spirituality. The tagline is New Religions for a Godless World. So, yeah, it's been really cool. The other one, Light from Light by Bishop Barron. His new one, that his reflection on the Creed.
Oh, okay.
Very, very heady, very intellectual. I was shocked. Not that, like, I expect that from him, but it is one of more of his academic books, okay. And it packs, like, a really good punch.
Nice.
So I'm making my way into that. I was pleasantly surprised, I should say.
And yeah, he's got a good balance of... There's some books that I've picked up of his where it's like an academic paper turned book, and then yeah. Other ones it's a little bit more of a broader appeal. So,
but this one's like I'm not dumbing this down. Like, we're doing this and we're getting into the creed and the basics of our faith. And I was like, okay, let's do this.
Two chapters on a 3-word phrase, probably.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, a lot there.
Brothers K. Someday I'll finish that. I had to put it on hold.
Oh, I forgot how many pages in.
I'm over 300, but I have not picked it up since probably around 4th of July. So. Whatever.
So no, you can't turn back from that, though.
No.
You got to finish.
I will. I really like it. All right. Today, I want to talk about joy and cynicism. You excited?
So pumped.
Are you joyful about this? Or are you just going to be cynical about it, Paul?
Well, if you're the one talking about it, it's going to be joyful.
It's going to be, yeah. I thought it was a cool topic. I keep going back to this book, but it's different parts of it, I think, have just kind of stuck with me. I think really, do you read a book where like just a few pages, like for a few weeks, just stick with you, mm-hmm. kind of in the back of your mind? And this is what happened with this one. But The Return of the Prodigal Son, and I hate to keep coming back to it, but maybe that's just like an encouragement to go pick it up yourself and read it, people.
Buy your copy now at your local.
Too soon, man. Too soon. Your local Amazon.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't looked at the painting yet, just go look at the painting, please.
Rembrandt,
yeah.
Yeah.
And listen to our other podcasts on it.
Prodigal Son, Rembrandt, listen to the other podcasts. Do yourself a favor and buy Henry Nouwen's. Nouwen's. Dang it. Mess it up every time.
Return of Prodigal Son. It's just his reflection on the Rembrandt painting and how that moved him to think of just deeper realities of spirituality, human experience, etc. But he had a few pages towards the end on joy and cynicism. And I think coupled with last week's podcast on like learning how to start your day off the right way, mm-hmm. Why you should be praying in the morning, why you should be calling upon God to place your trust in him, to receive his mercy, and just to look at the day and understand that, you know what, not everything's going to go your way, but there is a bigger plan to situate yourself into that plan. And I think just that theme of choosing joy over cynicism has been a good one for me, because I think at the end of a school year, when I kind of do my own assessment or throughout it, I notice that I tend to be cynical about things. I'm always kind of maybe looking for where's the bad in it, or like, I don't know how to describe that. Mm. Do you get? I don't know.
I think the weight of the year at the end, I think we more often than not look back at what didn't go well.
Yes.
Maybe student relationships that were frayed towards the end, and we miss out on a lot of what of the good that happened that year.
I always expect the worst, not always, but a lot of times I expect the worst out of things. Mm-hmm. A lesson's not going to go well. An event's not going to go well. Oh, they're not going to receive this well, or they're going to see right through this. And when I go into a situation, I feel like I'm more often than not expecting sadness.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been a good encouragement for me. Not that I feel like I'm painting the picture that I'm just a very negative person all the time, but I think it's an honest reflection of maybe how I'm feeling, even though I think a lot of people are feeling that and they work through it. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, they're not always showing that they're that way.
Yeah.
But it's been, I don't know, it's been a big theme for me, choosing joy over cynicism. Any thoughts? I mean, I sent you a few pages and we'll go through some of it, but any thoughts right away?
Well, yeah. And I think it's a battle that is often lost. If we're going to say joy versus cynicism, I think he does a great job of kind of speaking to the reality of the human condition and how very often we are just, we tend to bring up and share with people what is going poorly in our lives, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but he speaks about, you know, maybe it's conditioned by the state of the news that we receive, or there is just plenty to talk about that isn't going right in our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe there's a desire to share and to receive empathy on that point, but which is valid. But at the same time, I think it can cost us and take something from us that we're missing. So I think that's what he's trying to get at.
Yeah, because you talk about one of his friends, and it was a line he said, he can see joy where I expect only sadness. And that line, I think, stuck out to me because normally you would think it'd be like, he can see where joy where I see sadness. But it's not, he's seeing sadness, he's expecting sadness. Mm-hmm. Almost as like anticipation that it just won't go well. They're not ready for this. They won't accept Christ. They won't accept the truth here. And there was something else in that paragraph. He said, when he comes back from these places, I'm expecting him to talk about maybe some of the poverty he's witnessed or some of the struggles. But he always is able to share like hidden joys that he saw. He said, I'm always looking for the newspaper news, the sensational type of thing. And he'll just never give it to me. And how I think that's a good practice. I think often when we're, even as teachers sharing stuff, we're looking for that, I don't know, the sensationalist story. Or like when we're sharing what's new in your life, it's never like sharing these small little hidden joys. It's always like the newspaper news, like you were saying.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I think people aren't spending enough time, myself included, resting in those moments. We've talked about that, kind of like this childlike approach to things, and how we love that about our kids, is they can take joy in these small moments. Or Sienna coming home and just wanted to tell me about her friend Anna that she has met for one day and been around for 45 minutes, but you know, they're going to be best friends forever. I hope I get to play with her tomorrow. And just like, what a good thing that relationship is that she's forming.
There's no cynicism in Sienna of being like, this person's going to stab me in the back.
Yeah, it probably won't work out
either. You know what I mean? Like she'll
probably leave me for other cool friends.
Yeah. Even though that's the cynicism I'm projecting onto my kindergartner. I'm worrying more than a first grader.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, he goes through a good thing in saying, you know, I know that not everyone's been converted yet. I know there's not peace everywhere. I know that not all pain has been taken away. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of different structures in place. What does he say? There's so much rejection, pain, and woundedness among us. He might be called naive or unrealistic or sentimental because he's avoiding the real problems and the structural evils and stuff like that. He says, amongst all this, I'm still able to see people turning and returning home. I hear voices that pray. I notice moments of forgiveness. I witness many signs of hope. And I don't have to wait until all is well. I can celebrate every little hint of the kingdom that is at hand right now. I thought that was just a cool introduction and outlook right there. Mm-hmm. We understand that not everything's perfect. And I understand that there's many people that go through a lot more than I will ever have to go through.
Yeah.
Different struggles or different things that are set up against them. I've had a pretty easy life. I still have struggles in my life. But I think it's just all of us, no matter where we are, the heart of what Christ wants, the heart of what the Father wants, is for us to still taste some of those little joys, mm-hmm. even though things aren't perfect now.
Yeah.
And how we almost need those little tastes of joy to help us get through the imperfection that we see around us.
Yeah. I think he does a great job reflecting on these beautiful moments of joy. And to me, it was like this, it's what tethers us back to the heavenly reality that we were made for. And it's not, he does a good job. It's like, it's not to ignore the tragedies in people's lives or diminish those in any way, but the idea that there is something beyond this that is good, that we desire and that we see glimpses of in people and in conversations in the world. We've talked about the transcendentals, the beauty and goodness and truth that kind of echoes throughout all of the world and has its source in God. Like, it's just a reminder, like the laughter of my children is a reminder of the beauty that is life and the joy found within God. And especially when you're not concerned about how people are perceiving you, but you're just enjoying the moment. I mean, those are the things that I need to spend more time sitting with and praying with and just, appreciating.
I think being cynical isn't necessarily always being sad. Like he says, like, joy never denies sadness, but it transforms it to a fertile soil for more joy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to be sad. Like sad at maybe someone that you've lost, like as a friend or something like that. It's okay to be sad, you know, but understanding, like, I don't know, being able to still find those moments to work through something like that. There's a few things. Did you have anything else before I get to some of the...
I want to see where you want to go.
Okay. So he has some cool parts that maybe I'll skip over, but because I really want to get to... there's a paragraph that really just did it for me where it kind of laid out what does cynicism look like and what does joy look like. Those were kind of the two paragraphs that stuck out to me. And he says that there is no suggestion at all that the signs of the world's darkness will ever be absent, but still God's joy can be ours in the midst of it all. It is the joy of belonging to a household of God whose love is stronger than death and who empowers us to be in the world while already belonging to the kingdom of joy. And that's the secret of the joy of the saints. The joy that can be seen on the faces of many simple, poor, and often suffering people who live today among great economic and social upheaval, but who can already hear the music and the dance in the Father's house. I think that was one of the lines that stuck out to you, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about that?
I mean, you can see that in the people that are experiencing that, the joy among suffering that is, right? Again, it's not belittling of the suffering, but it is just like, they know that this is not what they were made for. There's a, I don't know, a perseverance in them that it's like, I won't be defeated by the circumstances I find myself in. While I may be sorrowful with my friends and family and the condition of things as they stand, I know that this isn't the end. I know, and I just love that image of like, still, you know, hearing the joyous party that exists within the kingdom, or however he works, the banquet, right? And the fact that that is what tethers them and gives them strength and hope amidst this evil.
They don't have the facade of comfortability always,
right?
That maybe some of the more, I don't know, privileged people have,
right?
A lot of that, the stuff of the world that's keeping people tethered here is kind of taken away from them. They're able to see reality more almost.
Yeah. And I think it's a shame that sometimes those people who find themselves with less, people might look down on them and be like, why are they, that joy must come from something that isn't real, that is manufactured, or that they're simple people. But in reality, like he uses an example, and having worked with individuals with developmental disabilities, right? There's a genuine joy and beauty found within that. People who look with pity on them, but in reality, they aren't ones that desire our pity or in any way, but in fact are truly living this joyous life and enjoying the heavenly rewards of the Father. They're just quite beautiful.
Yeah. This is the paragraph that really hit me that I kind of want to break down a little bit. He says, for me, it is amazing to experience daily the radical difference between cynicism and joy. I think all of us know that when we look at the people we experience in our life, there is a radical difference of what people bring to the table every single day. Those that are choosing to try to find joy in their life and those that are choosing to be cynical in their life. Because I think for a lot of people, it is a choice. Like, it is amazing the outlook that they're bringing and how they're trying to bring people down with them. It says, cynics see darkness wherever they go. They point always to approaching dangers, impure motives, and hidden schemes. So I just want to break this down. They're always looking for dangers that are coming towards them. They're always looking for what is coming to attack me, impure motives, who is trying to take advantage of me, and hidden schemes. It's always this look of skepticism around it, everyone. Who is out to get me? Like, it's this lack of trust, right?
Yeah, lack of trust.
And fear.
Victim. They're the next, yes.
Victim mentality.
Victim mentality, everyone's out to get them.
They call trust naive, care romantic, and forgiveness sentimental. So trust, those people that trust people are just naive. They don't know what the real world's like.
Yeah.
Those people that care are just being romantic. That's cute. You care, really? And forgiveness, that's just sentimental. So when it comes to trust, care, and forgiveness, three of like the greatest values that pierce us to our core and that we desire, they're saying that that's just naive, romantic, and sentimental.
It's just mere fantasy.
Right. They sneer at enthusiasm, ridicule spiritual fervor, and despise charismatic behavior. So people that are enthusiastic, they have spiritual fervor, they're living out their faith and have charismatic behavior, they sneer, ridicule, and despise. And I see that sometimes with even myself, when there's someone that's really happy around me and I'm not doing well, it bothers me. And a lot of times you project it onto them, like calm down. But it's just so much because we want what they have and we're maybe envious of it and we don't really recognize that. I see that with a lot of teenage kids. You know, and I don't think it's a product of Central Catholic. I think it's a product of teenagers now and probably always, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe more now, but what would you say?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily unique. It might be amplified, especially because they've had, especially with the shutdowns and those types of things, this idea that more has been taken away from them and it's difficult to trust because they've had that kind of taken away, a lot of stuff taken away from them. And I think it's, you see this a lot. You see that like everything that we see it at the school or maybe at my job, I ask so many people now, like I always ask them, is the work treating you right? Nope.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how are they not treating you right? You know, it's this and that. It's like things that you would expect a workplace to do.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, like, well, I don't know how to help you here. Like these are expectations and things, but there's always an alternative motive. The workplace or the school is doing this to get at me or because of this. And like you said, these hidden motives that like they're fabricating in their own mind. And then they're, like you said, projecting and then telling others about it. Like, oh, they're just doing this because.
Yeah, it's just like when I saw authentic joy in my life, I was like, I want that. When I saw someone that was happy and enthusiastic and on fire with what they believed in, that was attractive to me. But now for a lot of people, it's like, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you so happy? And they're like, they're mad at it, which it wears me down sometimes being around people like that. Like, I don't know if there's an awareness. And I get that there's a bigger story to everyone. There's so much more I know going on with people than I could ever understand and realize. But sometimes it's more like, do you have that self-awareness of when you're choosing this cynical outlook on life, do you realize that you're bringing down the people around you? Mm-hmm. Like, you can just feel like the presence coming into a room of someone who's just looking to complain or to attack something, looking to steal other people's joy. They don't like when other people are happy and they want to take that away from them. He says, the next line says, they consider themselves realists who see reality for what it truly is. They're not deceived by these escapist emotions. But in belittling God's joy, their darkness only calls forth more darkness. You see some people and you just want to like kind of shake them and be like, hey, what are you doing? Like, pull yourself out.
Yeah.
Find some little joy. Start small, but start letting a little bit of light in, because that's going to do a lot.
Yeah. Megan Sprague does a great job. She's a chemistry teacher here. And she says that she has maybe multiple times throughout the year, then like talk about something that they're truly grateful for.
Yeah.
And just like these moments of like reflection on joy and happiness, because it's like, we don't spend enough time doing that. We just don't.
Mm-hmm. So basically he sets up the cynic right there and he says, people who have come to know the joy of God do not deny the darkness, but they choose not to live in it. I think that's the biggest thing. I understand there's darkness and there's probably like real problems that you're working through, but don't live in that. He says, they claim that light that shines in the darkness can be trusted more than the darkness itself, and that a little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. They point each other to flashes of light here and there, remind each other that they reveal the hidden but real presence of God. And that's a big thing as well. We're pointing other people. We're reminding other people. Like, we need those people in our life. Don't isolate yourself. I think a lot of these cynical people are pushing the other people out of their lives. Choose joy, people. Quit choosing to be cynical. Tired of it. Look at me being cynical about the cynics. Yeah, every moment of each day, I have the chance to choose between cynicism and joy. Every thought I have can be cynical or joyful. Everywhere I speak can be cynical and joyful. Every action can be cynical or joyful. Increasingly, I'm aware of all these possible choices, and increasingly, I discover that every choice for joy in turn reveals more joy and offers more reason to make life a true celebration in the house of the Father. I don't know why. Just like when I was running through that or going through that, and I didn't remember every single word over the past few weeks, but it was just that sentiment on those few pages that meant a lot. As I'm starting a new school year, and as we're kind of starting to try to do a culture change within our school and community, our parishes, everywhere, knowing that we're going to go up against people that are going to complain about it. Because they don't necessarily, they want to be able to complain, but not letting that take the good that I know that we're doing and the joy that we're trying to bring to this. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a good sentiment that I took with me. And I think a lot of people, no matter where you're at in your life, in your workplace, at your school, at your college, at your home, we're all kind of dealing with things. And to be able to choose that joy instead of being that cynical person who's not trusting.
And I think it's important too, and something that I've had to work on is reflecting on the conversations I've had throughout the day. You know, if you're not already doing an exam and at the end of the day, it's good to kind of reflect this, or even just like post a nice conversation that you have with a friend, like spend at least the next few weeks reflecting on that. Where was I positive, negative? How did mm-hmm. that go? Was I cynical about everything? Was I dismissive of joy? Because I think sometimes it just becomes second nature. Like, I have to tell myself that we have these students who it's just like, it's just how they breathe, eat, yeah. and talk. I mean, it's so deeply embedded in them. And so, yeah, when somebody new comes into their life with joy and I'm in their face, like, I think there's like a visceral reaction sometime, because it is just like almost to the light, like coming out of this darkness where it's just like, whatever this guy's got, it's not for me and it shouldn't be, you know, it's a scam or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like the old guy being like, hey guys, you're so cynical of the world.
Yeah.
You're complaining too much.
Yeah. We're not calling people to just be happy. Dang it.
Yeah.
I think it's just a healthy reflection on to remember those moments of joy and light in our lives, because that's what drives us. That's what dispels the darkness and calls us to something more. Is this that we should, if we're not spending the time to appreciate the moments of great good in our lives, mm-hmm. then we can easily be drawn into this just cynical viewpoint on life that just kind of dictates how we act, who we talk, or how we talk about people and things, which is just unfortunate.
Yeah, and I don't know, his use of the word joy there, like, I almost understand it like how Aquinas and the intellectuals use it for happiness, mm-hmm. like this ability to contemplate the good things in life, that we know and love. It's appreciation, like you said, being grateful for the reality that we see in front of us that is good. And I've always heard that you could be happy without necessarily being joyful. Like joy is almost an emotion. So maybe like there's a misuse of that, seeking happiness without always having the emotions. Mm-hmm. Because some days you're just kind of off, but being able to still recognize the calling path that you're on, recognize still the people in your life, even when things maybe aren't always rolling for you, you know?
Yeah, and I think even in my most difficult days as a dad, like it's good for me to remind myself how grateful I am that I am a father, mm-hmm. that I have children, and that like regardless of how the day went, as we spoke of last time, it starts anew the next day, and mm-hmm. how grateful I should be to just have the opportunity.
And I think this is building off the last, like I said, last episode, is to start that at the beginning of the day. Recognize, I brought up that idea of recognize that there's going to be people in your life today that are going to be impatient. And to recognize that, prepare yourself. But I think like what you were saying, it's a call to continue to do that throughout the day, to remind ourselves of these little things, of the promise that we made at the beginning of the day, to remind ourselves of the things we're grateful for, and to reflect on how we've done throughout the day. Yeah. So if you're looking for practical takeaways in your life, I think it's just, starting off your day that right way of seeing what's about to come to you, being real about it, and letting that little light in. Recognize how you're treating other people. Recognize what you're bringing to the situations. Have I made people's day better by being around them, or have I brought people down? Yeah. I think just really being honest with yourself. How have I carried myself today?
It reminds me of a great poem. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Put it under a bushel? No.
No.
Woo.
All right.
I was talking really fast, and they're trying to get a lot of things in. This is not played on 1.5 speed right now. This is the normal speed.
Shout outs?
Ooh, I didn't even think that far ahead. Who do we have shout outs for?
I'm trying to think if there's any students that I've forgotten that we were supposed to.
I know for sure there's students I forgot.
So all those forgotten students.
For the student that needs the call out the most.
Oh, jeez.
Shout out to JB, Jacob Bickett.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So his mom is Damien's teacher this year. And so I got to talk to her and got to know about him through her. So I did not get to see JB, but just to hear that he's doing well. Shout out to you, JB.
Yeah, doing well over Wesleyan.
Yeah.
And then, shout out to all those college students. And that's Jake Maness. Just Jake Maness. No, all those college students that moved back, right? Everybody should be moving back on campus,
actually,
right?
Jake, shout out to you. If you get this, please send us an email. We haven't heard from you in a while.
And then, we don't want to start naming kids, but there's just far too many. So you know who you are.
All right, for the kingdom.
For the kingdom.